to Learning by Proxy with Vivek Srinivasan. Hi, this week I'm going to be talking about this book called Exactly by Simon Winchester that I've been reading for a while now. It's a book about the story of precision and how precision came to invade every part of our lives. He illustrates this through the stories of men and inventions that brought precision to another level in our lives. Starts by examining the difference between accuracy and precision. Having a copy of the Mona Lisa would be accurate, but precision would be actually having the Mona Lisa itself. Story of precision is not just about the products, also about the machines that were used to deliver this precision. And every chapter is organized in such a way that it talks about the next leap of precision. So it starts from like 0.1 meter tolerance to 0.001 meter tolerance and so on and so forth. The book starts in the battle trenches in the war between England and America in the early 19th century, and we had a gun at the time and a trigger broke. You had to have a trigger fashioned for that specific gun by a gunsmith. And that was a huge problem, because if you had a gun that was broken, you were essentially weaponless. And it was Thomas Jefferson who had heard about a new way of casting weapons in a much more precise fashion in France that unleashed the first race to achieve precision. You know, precision was meant to make the guns more precise. And the next leap actually came about trying to make cannons precise. So while they had learned how to cast these parts in a manner where they could be replaceable, a cannon was cast with a hollow, and what would happen was the hollow would be imperfect, so the cannonball wouldn't be fired in a fashion where it would reach precisely the destination it was supposed to. And there was actually a gentleman by the name of John Wilkinson that came up with the idea of casting the cannon hole and then removing the bore, or basically drilling the hole into the cannon. And it was actually this pursuit that ended up creating the lathe machine, because, you know, they had to do this thing over and over and they needed an easier way to do it. But what it gave them was a very precise borehole, and therefore the cannons became that much more precise. I was actually a friend of his, James Watt, who had approached him to make a similar borehole for a cylinder, because he was developing an engine and he needed the cylinder to be perfect rather than have gaps through which steam could escape. That's how the first steam engine was put together. And John Wilkinson did not think that this would warrant a second patent, whereas James Watt went ahead and patented this way of making a cylinder all to himself. The next leap actually came about with clocks and locks. Clocks used to be incredibly imprecise, in the sense that by the end of the day you would have 5 to 10 minutes extra added to the clock by the, you know, because the parts were that much more imprecise. And it was actually a contest by the King of England that resulted in clocks becoming more precise, and resulted in the parts that are used inside of a clock becoming that much more precise, that much more exact. Joseph Brahma was a locksmith, and he developed at that time in the late 19th century the most perfect lock by actually developing incredibly perfect parts for his lock. He was so proud of his invention that they used to have a 200 pound challenge on their showroom window saying anybody who could build, who could break the lock, would be given 200 pounds straight away. It was after his death that somebody broke the lock, and even then it took that person 60 hours to do it. So clocks and locks were the next leap of precision. Then came the story of two Henrys, Henry Royce and Henry Ford. Henry Royce was developing a car that had parts that were ultra precise, that were so perfect that you wouldn't even hear the car running. And on the other side of the Atlantic, you had Henry Ford, who was developing a car that was using parts that were so precise that you could take a part from any car and put it into any other car and it would just work. And both of them had differing visions, but they pursued their vision to deliver the world the most precise cars that there ever were. Then aviation brought the next leap in precision, where you had these engines, jet engines, that had to perform in differing temperature condition, pressure condition, humidity conditions, and they had to do that without missing a beat. And that required precision engineering at a whole different level. And then came space. With space, all these parameters are taken to a whole new extreme. And because all of this is functioning in vacuum, you need these parts to be totally perfect and function without any problem. He uses the case of the Hubble Space Telescope to sort of illustrate this. The error in the Hubble Space Telescope when it was originally launched was that of 1/50th of the width of a human hair. And that rendered the telescope useless, and it took them a whole 4 years to fix that. So you can just imagine the degree of precision that was needed. And today we carry around the pinnacle of precision in our pockets every day. The chips that are used in our phones are incredibly precise. They are basically transistors that are cut to the width of 3 atoms, right? So originally, when they came up with miniaturizing the transistor, what they did was they took a piece of silicon and they figured out how to impregnate that with germanium in order to form an NPN junction. And those windows have gone on becoming smaller and smaller and smaller, to such a point that today we have millions of transistors on a single computer chip. And today, with the 3-nanometer process, transistor is just about 3 atoms wide. That's how far the pursuit of precision has brought us. While the whole book is about how every single process, every single invention has been about making things more precise, he leaves us with a thought, which is that in the city of Ginza in Japan is headquartered a company called Seiko, which invented the quartz watch. And the quartz watch is perhaps the most precise way of timekeeping that is there. Now, while that was invention and that was forward-looking and futuristic, Ginza is also known for teacups. They make handmade teacups, which are very valued, and it's a very proud thing for any Japanese to have a Ginza teacup. Obviously, being handmade, it's not precise, it's anything but. But the Japanese have the capability to appreciate both an ancient craft as well as something that is totally futuristic. And being able to hold the appreciation for both of these is something that, he says, we as humans should not forget. While we pursue precision, we should have the ability to appreciate the imprecise as well. Overall, an incredible book to read. I would really, really recommend reading this book. And especially if you have had any experience in manufacturing, you'll totally love and relish this book. I'll bring another podcast to you next time. Till then, goodbye.